Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Red Men News. It's me, Chris Pajak, that is Si Fletcher, and we are here to talk Liverpool-related news. We are backed, of course, by The Athletic. You can get 50%, that's 50% of your yearly subscription by visiting www.theathletic.co.uk/Red Men News. No ads, no annoying pop-ups, but you should know this. We go onto the website pretty much every day and you never see a pop-up, do you? This one is an absolutely brilliant piece by James Pearce. He brought it to my attention, Si, and Aubrey via WhatsApp, if anyone remembers Aubrey. He sent me this about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Loves a WhatsApp.
Loves a WhatsApp, mate. Absolutely loves a WhatsApp. Not just one. 15 on the bounce. Yep. 15 on the bounce. He was telling me about all of our potential opponents, yeah. And all
Vincent
their players.
Vincent Janssen plays for this one. Honestly, and Xavi manages somebody. Yeah.
You wouldn't think he's got an actual job. He knows this stuff better than me still. So we're going to talk a little bit about Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's had an interview with James Pearce. It's such an interesting piece. It's about a 10-minute read. We've gone down to numbers 5 and number 6 out of 15 different photographs that they've shown him. Now, for anyone listening, there's a picture on the screen of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Marcus Rashford, and it's talking about the game where Rashford scored twice early on and beat Liverpool at Old Trafford in March 2018. And what did you like about this one, Si?
Well, when I seen 15 moments to shape my career, one of my first thoughts was, I wondered if they're going to mention the Man United game, because his career has obviously had some big highs, more highs than most 21-year-olds have had in the career. But that was one that you think of where you can see he's really learned from it, can't you? It was a terrible day. It was a terrible day for Liverpool because I think we were chasing second place in the league at the time. It was a terrible day for Trent because Rashford just done him time and time again, got the two goals, and it was a big learning curve for him. And you saw that defensively he's improved an awful lot since then, and it taught him that you can't be complacent, you can't... You've got to be careful playing against top-level football.
Yeah, he does. And Trent says to Pearce, the toughest in terms of direct opponent, and he's talking about Marcus Rashford, and someone getting on top of me in professional football, I'd say I underestimated him. It was a massive learning curve for me. It was something that I hated happening. As a Liverpool player, it was probably the worst game of the season to perform like that. But when things like that happen, you have to learn from them. And just to bring that back to today, Si, we obviously watched Jürgen's press conference earlier on today, and he was talking about the kids and the difficulties that they had in that 5-4 draw with Arsenal, and a couple of the quotes that he has. He was talking about the never say die attitude, and he said it's the best way to learn things, you know, going through that type of a situation. We have to make sure these boys are ready for the rest of their career. Facing difficult situations helps. Staying on track, dealing with mistakes. Those young lads were exceptional. And that's exactly what Trent had to deal with against Manchester United, how he had to come back from it. And it brings us on to the next one, actually, which is the Champions League quarter-final against City in April 2018. So the next month, and we all know that Manchester City, I targeted him that day, but he was absolutely brilliant against Leroy Sané, wasn't he?
It was unbelievable. It was like a coming-of-age performance for him. If you want, it was all the talk before the game was, should we even play Trent? Should we maybe put Milner right back and shuffle things around? Or how do we play this game? Because Sané's in incredible form. You know how much he can punish you. He's punished Liverpool a few times for Man City. And that was the worry going into that game. It was, is Trent going to be able to deal with this? they targeted him, but he just stood up to absolutely everything. And it's the way when he talks about, I'd like to say I came off, I was on top in that battle. Unbelievable game, probably the best atmosphere I've ever witnessed. You couldn't hear yourself think, you couldn't hear the player next to you who was shouting. It was incredible. Just imagine how he must have felt coming off that pitch. You've just beat probably the best team in the world, 3-0, to put one foot in the Champions League semi-final, playing at Anfield, and he's putting a performance like that. That must be one of them moments where he's going home and just thinking, wow, what a night, pinching yourself.
And for anyone who just wants to take themselves out of the stresses and the strains of being a Liverpool fan, go back and read this, because there was the Manchester United one, but the other like 13 or 14 of them, you just come away from it bouncing out, you know. It was like a 10-minute read or something, absolutely superb.
He has asked him some really good questions. He talks about his charity work that he does in the mural outside Anfield, which recognises that, and talking about from the Liverpool Academy, even playing for England and stuff as well, his free kick against Hoffenheim.
It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So on to some more sort of topical news then. We're on the BBC Sport website now. Premier League game is unlikely to move for a Carabao Cup tie. So we obviously brought you the news yesterday about all the different variations and different ideas that people have had, and you know, loads of them were, can we move a Premier League game? It looks like the Premier League is unlikely now to happen. They're not going to move it. The last ties are due to take place in the week commencing 16th of December when the Anfield side are in Qatar for the Club World Cup. The Premier League match at West Ham has already been postponed because of the FIFA tournament. The club and the EFL are in talks over an alternative date for the Villa Carabao Cup game. There appear to be no potential slots in December, a month when Liverpool already have 8 fixtures scheduled, 5 in the Premier League, final Champions League group match and 2 World Club Cup games. There's a midweek window after the third round of the FA Cup in the first week in January, but that would mean playing Villa tie when the first legs of the EFL Cup semi-finals are due to take place. It's now been muted, Si, that Jürgen has already been splitting his squad in training for the build-up of fixtures already. And now, you know, I think it was Bascom or Joyce have been talking about the possibility of Liverpool entering 2 teams in the same, in different continents, a couple of days apart maybe, and splitting the squad that way. It's never been done before.
No, I'm not too sure what to think of it, to be honest. Because either way, is he going to play purely kids? Like, the side that he played against Arsenal, there was a lot of kids in there, but you've got to spar. You've got Milner left, even though Milner didn't have a great game. He had the experience there.
Milner, Gomez, you got Lallana,
Chamberlain.
You've got to take them for the World Club Cup. You've got two games in quick succession. Yeah. He's going to want to rotate his squad in the World Club Cup.
But the worst thing that could happen is, say he takes a purely first team squad for the World Club Cup, and then imagine they don't even end up winning it. And then he leaves the kids and they get beat by Aston Villa in the quarter final, and then we've lost both games. So I don't want that happening. It's too much of a risk, because already it's hard for the first team to be flying to Qatar and playing 2 games in a week. If you're then going to be either leaving a few of them at home to try and make a bit more experience in the League Cup ties, which, to be honest, I'm not too sure if Klopp would do. I think Klopp's already shown that he's not prioritising that tournament at all. Even though he does want to win the game while it's getting played, and he'll prefer to win the game, he's not prioritising that. But things can happen. A bad refereeing decision, or what if a player gets injured out there? You don't want to be taking risks, and that's why I certainly hope that this EFL Cup thing gets sorted and gets moved. It looks like the most likely at the minute is it's going to get played when the semi-final's due to get played, and the semi-final gets moved back. That's what's looking likely.
That's the thing that I think will happen. The only other thing, I think Liverpool will pull out of the competition before they play 2 teams on 2 different continents. I really do, because, like you say, you know, you anything can happen. You want to take your entire squad over to the Club World Cup. It's a competition that we've never won before, first of all. I mean, that means something. And I know it's not looked on, you know, like a top competition in England, but the other teams around the world all want to win that. Yeah. And you can go around telling everyone legitimately that you're the champions, World Club champions, and why wouldn't you want to be able to do that?
You get the gold patch on your shirt.
And every player who's going to be playing in that squad is going to want to win it.
Yeah.
Every single one, 100%. Because no one in the squad's done it.
And you've got South Americans in that team who'll be playing either an Argentinian side or a Brazilian side. They'll want to go up and beat them, and so the whole of their continents will be watching, and they'll say, look, I'm the champion of the world. I've come from Brazil, and now I'm the champion of the world. They'll want to do it, yeah.
So onto the press conference reaction then. Again, we'll come back to Trent, and you know, we got Redmen's Twitter up at the moment. So I did a great job pulling out some great quotes. Trent is so young and already experienced. What a wonderful story. 100 games and not too many bad ones, and that's true, isn't it? You know, he's now the record holder for the most assists by a defender in Premier League history with 12 last season. He's just so experienced. Two back to back Champions League final. The youngest player to ever do that. He's played in World Cups. He's up to his 100th Liverpool fixture. He's not even 21 yet, is he? Or is he 21?
He's already a hero. I don't think you could say he's a legend at Liverpool quite, because he still hasn't played enough. But he's a hero. He's a hero for so many kids growing up. He's a hero for me, and I'm fucking older than him.
But Klopp said it in the press conference. He used the word Scouse hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows that Liverpool fans want that. We've seen his name about him being the Scouser in our team, yeah, and all that. Like, I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, one of the things that I think coming off the back of the fixtures, though, is this one we've got here now. This is him talking about the fixture pile-up. FIFA, the leagues, and he's talking about the Premier League, Spain and everyone else. Everyone needs to sit down at the table and think about their players and not about the wallet. And what he was talking about at the time, so you'll remember, is he's talking about the question was around, are we working these elite players too much?
Yeah.
And he got quite angry with the reporter, the lady who asked him the question, didn't he? He was like, you've asked me this, but you's a journalist, basically, is what he's trying to say, is you should be writing this without me saying it. You should be able to look at this. This is your job. You can see that this is happening right in front of you. Why do you need me to validate it? Why can't you just say this anyway? Yeah. And I can understand where he's coming from, because it comes across like he's moaning all the time, and fans of other clubs, oh, he's moaning. We're a victim of our own success here.
Yeah.
But also, that doesn't mean that we can't gripe, or Klopp can't gripe about the fact that there are too many games.
There is, and he spoke about, he brought in the Nations League, so that's more competitive games when they go on international duty, and then you've got, in the summer, there's pretty much an international tournament every single summer, isn't there, for someone or another? You've got the World Cup and the Euros, and then you've got Copa America, African Cup of Nations and stuff. Sadio Mane, Henderson, players like
Salah,
that.
Salah, he said as well.
Two weeks off in a year, when you're intensely mental, and you can talk about how much money they get paid all you want, but their job is, mentally and physically, a draining job. It's intense, and the pressure on them is massive. And to only have 2 weeks break of that a year, that must be hard for them.
And even then, Si, they might not be training every week, right? But their job, and the way that they have to, you know, the nutrition that they need to go through and everything, and the sports science, even when they're having 2 weeks off, it's not like me and you have 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Like, anybody watching this now, the diet goes out the window on holiday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get a couple of weeks off and you're like, go ahead, I'll start drinking at 11 a.m. We'll do that all day. Yeah. I'll eat buffets all day on my all-inclusive holiday. Yeah.
You can't reset, and that's how you prepare to go back to work. That's why people need holidays. They can't do that, no.
No, so even when they've got just 2 weeks off, by the way, which is well less than what everyone else gets, they're still not able to do that. And he talked about it, and he said, money has nothing to do with it. That was another quote, because I think he gets annoyed that, well, it's how much they get paid. It's like, yeah, but there's pressure and everything else. It's not their fault how much they get paid.
Yeah.
And you know, people need to seriously think about that. Another one that was really good, well, not so good actually for Matip, but quite decent about Naby, I suppose, is he was talking about their availability. He said, Naby, we don't know yet. Matip will still be a few weeks. And what I loved about this more than anything is Klopp got quite into the definition of a couple and few. Because he said a few weeks, and he said, well, is it two? And he was like, no, a couple's two, and few's more than that. Like, and I love that, because me and Tom were having that discussion in the office last week,
yeah.
But really, I mean, everybody knew that Matip was going to be out for a few weeks. Naby, sounds like he's out for this game, to be honest.
If he's saying he doesn't know, then he's not going to be starting this game. And to be honest, I think if Naby was fit, there's a good chance he probably wouldn't be starting this game anyway.
Yeah.
But I think maybe you'd be looking at Genk next week as one that he maybe comes in for. But if he doesn't know, I doubt he's going to be starting against Villa tomorrow, no.
And then finally, I suppose, on this one, he was asked about Fabinho's ban, or potential ban if he picks up another yellow card against Villa, I should say. It's not possible to play without challenges against Aston Villa. Maybe he has to deal with it on the pitch, or maybe I do with the lineup. I haven't decided yet. We'll have to see.
It's a bit of a brain teaser for him, isn't it? It's a bit of a headache. Like,
I mean, it's a great picture.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone listening to this on podcast, apologies, but he's got his hands in front of his face, and it looks like he's really sort of, do I pick Fabinho? Do I not pick Fabinho? What am I going to do here? I wouldn't pick Fabinho myself, sorry.
I probably wouldn't either. Someone made a good point, and I think it was might have been the starting 11 live stream that we did before over on the Redmen YouTube channel, and he said there's a 90% chance that we can beat Villa without Fabinho, but there's a lot lower chance that we beat City without Fabinho. And so Klopp will be weighing all this up in his head. But what if he leaves Fabinho out, and then we could get beaten by Villa, we could get beaten by City, exactly. So this is all the stuff he's weighing up in his head, and this is why he's the manager of Liverpool, because I trust him to make the right decision. So I can see the argument for both sides. If it was up to me, I'd probably rest him. I think we've got enough quality in the midfield. I think you can bring Milner in there, or you can bring Chamberlain in there. I think Henderson, Wijnaldum and both nailed on to start. And then it's either Milner or Chamberlain, probably, if you leave Fabinho out. Let's wait. As I say, I can see both sides of the argument, and I'll go with Jürgen, whatever he does. Unless he leaves him out.
He's going to play Fabinho, you know.
Do you?
I do. I just, because of what you said a minute ago, really, it's that, like, well, you could lose points in both games, yeah. You know. You can lose points against City with Fabinho in the lineup. You can lose points against Villa without him in the lineup, or with him in the lineup. You know, they're in good form at the moment. Another interesting one, it's not on the Redmen TV Twitter actually, he was talking about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and the journalist said that Alex has been talking about it and says he's not at that level yet, and the level that he wants to be at. And he very quickly, Jürgen moved, go, good. And I was like, boss, yeah, that, I love that. He's right, exactly. And he said, Alex is right. It's not a problem. But he's right scoring-wise. He's had these outstanding moments, but there are moments when he's not been involved. He needs to find his rhythm. It's a long-term thing coming back from a long-term injury. It's good he knows there's more to do, there's more space for improvement, and there's more involvement in games. And I suppose that's it, really. I think Alex, midweek against Arsenal, he scored the goal and he gets the assist. But was his all-round game as good as what we've seen?
I think certainly in the first half, his passing was poor. It looked like he was poor in possession, which you don't see too often from him. It didn't have like as much creativity as you usually got from him. You didn't see him driving as much as you did. And when you did, it felt like he was kind of making the wrong decision a little bit. That could have had something to do with the fact that the Arsenal fans were booing him and he's trying to prove a point against them. There's different things that you can take into account there, but he wasn't great against Arsenal. And while the two goals against Genk were brilliant, and yeah, there's a few more brilliant moments in that game, thought his all-round game did leave a little bit to be desired. So, but it's good that he's recognising that.
And that's it. And Klopp wasn't asked, he said it a few times. He's like, I'm not bothered, by the way. I expect him to be like this at this stage of his injury. And, you know, we were saying at the start of the season, it feels like a new signing, and you need to give him time, like a new signing as well. You know, he's had a game against Genk, he's had a game against Arsenal. Hopefully he'll play against Genk again next week. He's had a couple of other little substitute appearances here and there, but the guy needs minutes, and the more minutes he plays, the quicker he'll get and the better he'll get, and back up to speed, the more back up to speed he'll be. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I think, you know, come January time, we'll see him integrated into the first team properly, maybe before.
It seems all the time he's shown more and more of the player that we know that he is, and he scored 3 goals in the last week. That's fantastic. But I like the fact a lot of players would have been like, yeah, I've scored 3 goals in the past week, that's brilliant. But Alex is going, no, it's not brilliant, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. It shows that he's got the right attitude, and that's exactly what Klopp wanted to say.
And I'm sure it's not just him either, is it? You know, it'll be everybody in the squad, everyone will be thinking like that. You know, there'll be young lads coming into the side against Arsenal who played well, who thought, I can do better than that, and maybe misplace that pass or this, and I can do better. And
that's the winning mentality.
Exactly, that's it, isn't it? It's the winning mentality, and hopefully that continues tomorrow against Aston Villa. Anyway, drop a like on the video, smash that like button, leave us your thoughts on all of the news stories, of course, below. Don't forget to check out The Athletic, www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. The articles are absolutely brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant, and you do get 50% off yearly subscription. And James Pearce is writing on there regularly, Simon Hughes as well, but there's more than that. There's Oliver Kay, there's David Ornstein, there's Michael Cox if you're into your tactics and stuff like that.
Rafa Benitez,
Rafa Honigstein. There's so many great articles. And like, if you're like me and you love reading content as well as watching videos and listening to podcasts, The Athletic is absolutely superb. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for supporting Redmen News and Redmen TV. And we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.